This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum everyone. Okay, I don't think I'll give you another break. I'm not in the mood. Okay, so we're just gonna like do this. Alright. So, we are in section 6. Before I start, I just want to give you an overview of what we covered. The introduction was about the Qur'an and the people who refused to respond to it. The second section was... I forgot. What kind of history? Do you remember what the town and the three messengers and that lone believer? Sure. That's section 2. What was section 3 about? The world all around you and how you're supposed to think about what is right in front of you. And then section 4 was about the people who just refuse to think. What was section 5 about? They say that... how many kinds of warnings are there in the Quran? What are they? Destruction? Day of Judgment? And in the middle of that conversation, Allah also mentioned some awesome stuff about Jannah. Right? But He put it in the middle of that warning, and then that passage came to an end. We are now in section 6. Section 6 is, you can just call it the concluding section. It's the conclusion. And in this conclusion, Allah will basically review all of the fundamental concepts that are covered in sections 1 through 5. In one way or another, one of those things will be repeated. Just so as you leave with a good review of these guiding lessons and principles that Allah has been giving throughout this beautiful surah. So we begin, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. We did not teach him poetry, and it doesn't fit him either. It's not becoming of him to do poetry. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. It is nothing but a reminder. It is nothing but remembrance. And a Qur'an that is absolutely clear. That is crystal clear. This is not the work of a human being or of a creative poet. It is rather the Qur'an. What is this a review of, guys? Where was that? تنزيل العزيز الرحيم والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين. It was in the beginning, wasn't it? Now it's being repeated, but now this idea of we didn't teach him poetry. I want to say something about this idea of poetry. You know, the Prophet ﷺ did not know poetry. He loved it though. He really liked it. Actually, he had companions who liked it, who were very good at it. Who was the Prophet, or rather, what was the Prophet compared to in this surah, and what were the companions compared to? Do you remember that the sun, Allah said, it is not becoming of the sun to catch up to the moon? Remember that? La yam, you know, la shamsu yambaghi laha an tudrika al qamar. Yambaghi. And the only other time yambaghi is used is wama allamnahu shi'ra wama yambaghi lahu. We didn't teach him poetry, it doesn't fit him either. So the only two times the word yambaghi is used is for the sun and for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the siraj al-munira, subhanallah. Even that is correlated and corresponded. Because you're supposed to make that connection anyway. But it's done through the language also. Now, in this beautiful depiction, we didn't teach him poetry, it doesn't fit him. Which means what fits the sun is not the same as what fits the moon. Which means what's appropriate for the Prophet ﷺ is not the same as what is appropriate for the companions. The Prophet ﷺ could not do any poetry. Allah did not let him learn it. He did not teach him it at all. But the companions were what? Very good at it. He used to love listening to poetry. One story sticks out in my mind because it has this ayah in it. The Prophet ﷺ used to try to memorize poetry. When he heard good poetry, he used to memorize it. Actually, in that sense, that's one of the qualities of the Prophet ﷺ that I get reminded of when I talk to my dad. My dad loves poetry, but he's terrible at remembering it. He cannot remember anything about poetry. He only knows like one poem. And he tells it to me every time. Every time. And what I love about him is, he tells it to me in a way that he's really convinced that I'm going to be shocked by how it ends. Can I tell you the poem? Okay, I'll tell you. It's in Urdu, sorry. For the rest of you, just make istighfar or something. He says, Ek sher sunata hun, zara ghar se suniye.
جاؤ میں نہیں سناتا کسی اور سے سنیے. That's all he ever does.
And then he chuckles and giggles, and Isaac, that's kind of prophetic. That he just cannot remember poetry for the life of him. Anyway, so what happened was, in one of the battles in the Prophet's life, alayhi salatu wasalam, there was a new Muslim. And this new Muslim used to be a tribe leader. Okay, so there's a battle, and this Muslim used to be a tribe leader, right? And before Islam, the tribe leader is a big deal. And so if you go into battle and you win, who gets the most share? The tribe leader. But now he's just another Muslim. And when you go into battle as a Muslim, how much do you get? Equal share, as everybody else. So he used to get the big percentage, now he gets equal share. So he feels insulted. This tribe leader, even though he's Muslim, he feels insulted. So he basically makes poetry about how he's been humiliated. Okay? So he says, "Uhintu bayna al-Aqra' wa Uyayna." Some part of his poetry, I was humiliated between the tribes of Aqra' and Uyayna. Aqra' and Uyayna are the two names of his tribes. So he says, between both of those tribes, my reputation has been destroyed because of Islam. Because of Islam. And when he makes this poetry, he's very good at poetry, so it spreads. But when Muslims hear this poetry, it starts hurting the morale of the army. So the Prophet ﷺ says, go pay him off. Just give him some money. Because this poetry is hurting the Muslims. A few years later, the Prophet ﷺ saw this guy. He didn't see him face to face before, but he saw him finally. And the Prophet ﷺ said, weren't you the one who made that poem? And then the Prophet ﷺ tried to repeat the poem. And when he repeated the poem, he took Aqra' wa Uyayna, and he flipped it over and said, Uyayna wa Aqra'. Okay, so the two tribes, he flipped the names over. Does that matter in poetry? Yeah, because there's a musical rhythm to a poem, and if you don't keep up with the rhythm, it messes the whole thing up. It's not about the message, it's about the style, isn't it? So Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, was next to the Prophet ﷺ. And Abu Bakr is very good at poetry. So he kind of quietly kind of taps the Prophet ﷺ and says, Ya Rasulullah, it was Bayn al-Aqra wa Uyayna, not Uyayna wa Aqra. It was the other way. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what difference does it make? Now you don't say that to a poet. Yeah? What difference does it make? So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq says to the Prophet ﷺ, you know, Allah spoke the truth when he said, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ. We didn't teach him poetry, it doesn't fit him either. So anyway, Allah did not teach the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam poetry at all. And it's not fitting of him, because he doesn't have time to talk about those things. He's got too much of a tight speech to talk about, the Hakim Qur'an itself. There's no time for him to do this. So now he says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ. It is nothing but a reminder. You know, in huwa illa is a form of speech in the Qur'an that's really powerful. One of the most, you know, universal definitions of the Qur'an is that it's a reminder. And the thing of a reminder, the reality of a reminder is something that needs to be repeated all the time. And you know, in the Qur'an you learn that reminder benefits the hearts. You know, the reminder is for the hearts. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. So dhikr is for the hearts. Okay, أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. We made his heart remember our dhikr. So the first thing the Qur'an is, it's dhikr, which means it's supposed to affect your heart. But then he says, إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُبِينٌ. It's a clear Qur'an. Now clarity is not something in the heart. Where's clarity? It's in the mind. So this recital is supposed to be spiritual, and at the same time it's supposed to be intellectual. You know the idea of وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ? Those two sides of it, again reviewed. In just in huwa illa dhikrun wa qur'anun mubin. لِيُنذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. So that he can warn, and so that the Qur'an can warn whoever has been alive. Obviously the Qur'an is there to warn someone who's alive, but we are learning something that is being reviewed from section 1. In section 1 Allah told us that إِنَّا نَحْنُ نُحْيِي الْمَوْتَى. We give life to the dead. Remember that? And part of the meaning was, he can give life to the dead hearts also. And at the end of it all, he says, so that you can warn someone whose heart still has some life in it. Some good is still left in them. مَنْ كَانَ حَيًّا. وَيَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ And the truth will become absolutely clear against the disbelievers. The word will become manifest against the disbelievers. يَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ By the way, يَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ This exact phrase came before when Allah said, لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى أَكْثَرِهِمْ He said it right in the beginning. Now he's reviewing it at the end. So that the word becomes absolutely true against the disbelievers. There is a second meaning of حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ أو حق عليه القول. I'll explain that to you too. When you become deserving of something, like if I say, I'm going to punish you, if I say to my son Waleed, I'm going to punish you, I'm going to take your Legos away. And he says, okay, what am I not supposed to do? I said, if you don't go upstairs right now, I'm going to take your Legos away. And he doesn't go upstairs. Then I take the Legos away. And as I'm taking away, I say, لقد حق القول عليك. The word became true for you. The warning became real. Okay? So حق القول doesn't just mean the truth has become clear to somebody or the words have become clear to somebody, but also means that they deserve what was warned. That they actually became worthy of that punishment. Okay? So now يحق القول على الكافرين means so that even the disbelievers are absolutely, absolutely clear that this is the truth, even though they'll keep hiding it inside, and it also becomes clear that now they deserve the worst punishment. ويحق القول على الكافرين. The question though is, that punishment, has Allah described it in the surah? It began with them being blocked off from all pathways to truth. And then it leads them to be a nation that gets destroyed, which needs them to be on the Day of Judgment, which leads them into hellfire. يَحِقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا خَلَقْنَا لَهُمْ مِمَّا عَمِلَتْ أَيْدِينَا Didn't they look to what we created for them? From our own hands? What our own hands did for them? What does that seem like a review of? Didn't they look at what we made for them? What section was that? That was the third section, wasn't it? The world around you. And this time he says, an aman, what we made from our own hands, that is to say cattle, cows. فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ Then they will go around owning it. They own these cows and cattle. See, that time he talked about fruits. And he talked about, you know, crop that you eat. And gardens and date palms. And now he's talking about cattle, and how cattle has been submitted before you. It's been humbled before you. You know, in the Quran, Allah often talks about animals that you have control over. Horses, cows, camels, and there's a reason for that. In it, there's a spiritual lesson also. This is a physical image tied to a spiritual lesson. The spiritual lesson is, you have animals under you that are humble, and you would not tolerate if they acted up. If your horse was going too crazy, what would you do? You'd put it down. If your cow stopped giving you milk, it'll be a burger. Yes? So what you own, when it doesn't do its job, is done. Shouldn't that be a lesson for you? Because I own you, Allah is saying. And if you don't do your job, then why do you think I don't have the right to do away with you? You see? So didn't they see what we made with our own hands for them? Cattle, فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ Then they're in ownership of it. And then, وَذَلَّلْنَاهَا لَهُمْ And we made this cattle humble for them. Now that was important to mention. Because when the cattle has been made humble for their owners, how come you haven't been humbled before Allah? فَمِنْهَا رَكُوبُهُمْ وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ And out of these cattle, they also get rides. رَكُوبُهُمْ Their rides exist. Did Allah talk about rides before? What two rides did He mention? Do you remember? He mentioned the ship. He mentioned the camel that people ride, or other kinds of rides that they don't even know about yet. وَمِنْهَا يَأْكُلُونَ And from it, and from them, they eat. They even consume them. Another sign of Judgment Day and your humility that you put in your mouth. And then وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا مَنَافِعُ وَمَشَارِبُ Out of all of these cattle, they have in them all kinds of benefits. They can get hide out of it. They can get skin out of it. They can use their bones for something. They can use all kinds of stuff. وَمَشَارِبُ And they get all kinds of drinks out of it. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ How come they're not grateful? Then, are they not grateful then? Notice last time Allah talked about being grateful. He talked about food. And this time He's talking about drink. Right, last time He talked about fruits you can eat. And now He's completing the diet by talking about things you can drink. And the subject of gratitude becomes complete. وَاتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ آلِهَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ They've taken other gods besides Allah. so that they can be helped? This is another criticism. Like Allah first said, why didn't they look at the reality right in front of them? And we reviewed that again in now section 6. But now he's going to go into their crimes. And crimes are similar to the crimes that other people had done in previous nations, like in section 2, in the history lesson, where people were expecting the shafa'a, or the intercession of other gods. So he says they've taken other gods besides Allah. لَعَلَّهُمْ يُنصَرُونَ So that they can be helped. Weren't they told, اِتَّقُوا مَا بَيْنَا أَيْدِيكُمْ وَمَا خَلْفَكُمْ Take precaution, protect yourselves by using your minds properly. Take precautions from what is in front of you and what is behind you, not from false gods. Why are you seeking help and protection from false gods? لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ نَصْرَهُمْ These gods, they're not going to be of any help to them. They're not capable of any help for them. وَهُمْ لَهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُحْضَرُونَ And they for them are just an army, just like themselves, that are being made to present themselves. In other words, Allah paints the scene of Judgment Day, where all these mushrikun, the people who worshipped idols and false gods, are standing there, and their idols are standing there too. They're standing, hey, you're here? You're supposed to be on the VIP section calling me over. Why are you here? Well, I was just an idol, dude. He's going to burn. And I will be used as fuel to enrage your fire. Because Allah says, وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ It's fuel is people and stones. The stones that the idols were made of. So the idol itself is standing there like, wait. This can't be good. You know? وَهُمْ لَهُمْ جُنْدٌ مُحْضَرُونَ فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ What they say shouldn't make you sad. Who's he talking to? Their statements should not make you sad. This is consolation from Allah to the Prophet ﷺ. Which section did we have consolation from Allah to the Prophet ﷺ? In the first section. إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ Once again. And in the second section, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمُ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ In that second section of the history, our master knows that we have consolation from him. We don't need validation from you. And now Allah gives him validation. You don't have to worry so much about what they say. إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ We know what they make open. We know what they make public. And we know the thing, or rather, we know the secrets they keep and we know the things they make public. This is also a review. Because the truth was made clear deep inside their hearts. Yes or no? لَقَدْ حَقَّ الْقَوْلُ عَلَىٰ أَكْثَرِهِمْ So Allah says, I know the secrets they have. And I know the opposite truth or falsehood they announce. وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ Now, أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانُ But before I go to that, why did they reject the message? Why did they keep things hidden and not say what they knew to be true? Pride, wasn't it? So Allah is now going to attack pride. Because he's going to come at really the real problem. Didn't the human being see أَنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ That we created him from a dirty fluid, a drop. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ Then all of a sudden, he's constantly making arguments openly. Who does he think he is? You know, the surah began by telling the nation of Quraysh, who do you think you are? And now Allah says, who does this human being think he is? You're just a dirty fluid. And you get up all big and now you start making arguments? You know, desis know this really well. We use this line against our kids when they get loud. Now you're really big. MashaAllah. You heard that one? Allah is actually using that one on the Quraysh. Oh. Are you all grown up now? You want to make arguments against Allah, do you? I see. Wonderful. And this idea, فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ All of a sudden, he starts making arguments. This is not the first time we're learning about arguments. Allah says, إِن كَانَتْ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدًا Oh, مَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا صَيْحَةً وَاحِدَةً وَهُمْ يَخِصِّمُونَ There's not going to be, it's nothing but a single explosion they're going to look at while in the middle of their arguments. And Allah says, you think you have the room to make arguments? You think you get to be this obnoxious? Now, what kind of arguments does he make? Allah says, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا He gives all kinds of examples for us. He starts making theoretical scenarios for us, which by the way, he already made in this surah. أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ Should we feed someone Allah could have fed himself? If Allah wanted, he would have fed him himself. He's theorizing about Allah, isn't he? Allah says, he starts making theories about me, giving examples about me. وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ And he forgot his own creation. قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ He has the audacity to say, who is going to give life to bones when they have been reduced to dirt? Ramim. Rimmah in Arabic is dirt. Athara. Rimmatu hi athara. So he said, the guy says, these decayed bones are going to be brought back to life? Who's going to do that? Questioning the power of Allah. The height of arrogance. You forgot what you yourself were made from? Much more pathetic than dirt. قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Tell them, the one who gave it life the first time will give it life again. The one who brought it up the first time. Is this a new concept? Allah will give life to the dead? Or did this come up before? Again, we're inching towards that review. وَهُوَ بِكُلِّ خَلْقٍ عَلِيمٍ. And He knows about all kinds of creation. He's always knowledgeable about all kinds of creation. In that one statement, Allah knows about all kinds of creation is a review of the entire third section, where all the ayat that Allah created were. He just captures all of it again. What people have made with their own hands. What they couldn't have made with their own hands. What they eat with their mouths. The animals that serve them. الَّذِي جَعْلَ لَكُم مِّنَ الشَّجَرِ الْأَخْضَرِ نَارًا. This is epic right here. The one who made out of the tree, the green tree, He made fire for you. فَإِذَا أَنْتُم مِّنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. You light up those fires yourselves from it. Is this the first time we're learning about a tree in this surah? Can anyone remember where the tree was in the surah? Palm trees. Palm trees were a reminder of what? Jannah. And this tree is used to make fire, which should be a reminder of hell. Isn't that incredible? The two times He mentions tree, one should make you think about Jannah, the other should make you think about Nar. But what He said about Nar is remarkable. He said He provided the ability for a green tree, perfectly green tree, to be turned into fire. But it doesn't turn into fire on its own. The fruits come out on their own. The beauty of it is on its own. But the fire doesn't come on its own. فَإِذَا أَنْتُم مِّنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. You have to light it up yourselves. You have to take this perfectly good tree and turn it into fire. What is Allah saying? He's saying the path to Jannah is natural. But you go out of your way to destroy the nature that Allah created you on, and you want to build yourself the fire of hell. Allah did not put you in the fire of hell, you lit it up yourself. فَإِذَا أَنْتُم مِّنْهُ تُوْقِدُونَ. How incredible is that? What a complete picture. Like, you don't look at a tree the same way anymore. Between those two ayat. So what was left open in the beginning is now closed full circle. And so He says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Then isn't the one who created the skies and the earth, بِقَادِرٍ, completely capable? عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ. That He can create the likes of them? Bala, of course. وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. He is the one who creates over and over again and knows everything. Now here's the thing about this ayah. The one who created the skies and the earth. How many skies are there? How many you been to? You been to one? Well, you're taking a flight. Maybe you went to a little bit of one, right? Can we see the seven skies? Do we know where one begins and one ends? No. That's from the unseen. The one who created the unseen and the seen, isn't it? The skies are, much of it is the unseen. And the earth is seen. The one who created the world of the unseen and the seen is the same one. Every time He creates something in the seen, He makes you think of something from the unseen. خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Isn't He capable to make you again? Because just because you are so obsessed with the seen that you start doubting His power in the unseen? Bala, of course He can. وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. He's the one who creates over and over again, has all knowledge. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا. The only thing, His decision, all it is, when He intends to do something, أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ, that He says to it, be. Come into existence, be. فَيَكُونَ. And it just happens. You know what this ayah is about? This ayah is telling, you know, previously Allah said, it's not that hard to destroy your people. It could just be one explosion, you'll be done. Now he's saying it's even easier for him to recreate you. All he has to do is say one word, kun, and you'll be brought back to life again. Fayakun. You think I can't recreate you? That's just as easy as saying the word. That's all it is for me. Subhanallah. By the way, the word of Allah brings life. Kun brings life in this ayah, yes? Which is actually amazing because the Quran brings life to the dead heart too, which is also the word of Allah. So it's two different dimensions of the words of Allah that are highlighted in these ayahs. And now that you understand that, now that you understand that that power of giving life and the power of pairing the unseen with the seen. By the way, every time you find pairing, Allah created things in pairs. Then He steps back and says, the only one that doesn't have pairs is He. And He's too perfect for that. So the surah is concluding, فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Then how perfect is the one in whose hands alone is the kingdom and ownership of everything. He has the ownership of everything. By the way, even the ownership is a review because you own cattle. فَهُمْ لَهَا مَالِكُونَ. They are cattle's owners. And Allah says, actually you own nothing. He has the ownership of all things. And then He adds, وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And to Him alone, you will all be returned. Now when you will all be returned, this is actually also a review. Because remember the man who was killed? You know what he said? He said, فَطَرَنِي وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. He made me and you're all going to be returned to him also. But when he said it, they killed him. When he said that they killed him, now Allah is saying it. I'll tell you myself. You will be returned to me. See what you can do about that. You can try to kill my believers, but I'll tell you myself.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Thanks for watching these videos. If you'd like to continue to support Quran Weekly, please click the link in this video.